1 Samuel chapter number 7. And if you find 1 Samuel chapter number 7, we'd invite you, if you're able to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 7, begin reading at verse number 1, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then came the children of Israel, did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mitzpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mitzpah, and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mitzpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mitzpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomforted them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mitzpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mitzpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? Seated. We have an account in God's Word where God's people sought His face and God intervened and God came unto them. They didn't come seeking because the enemy had pursued, but they came seeking because they were separated and they were far from God. It had been 20 years that the ark of God had been kept apart from them. It had been 20 years that they had forgotten that they needed to worship and they needed to serve God. It had been 20 years that they had forsaken the assembling in the place where the Ark of the Covenant was to worship God. And their hearts had grown calloused and cold, and their hearts had been drawn away. But one day they realized that everything that the world was offering them was not satisfying. Everything that the world had couldn't do what God had done in times past. And they began to long for that relationship. They began to long for that place. Have you ever been there? You got far from God and you got into the world, and maybe the world got you so busy that you forgot how good it was to be in the house of God. You forgot how good it was just to be totally surrendered and submitted unto God. You forgot just how good it was when you could worship God in spirit and in truth, and God showed up and God ministered to your heart and God blessed you, and you just forgot how much He really had missed in not being near God. That's where they're at. The Philistines are their taskmasters. The Philistines are constantly upon them. The Philistines are constantly a thorn in their side. that they went to worshiping strange gods and worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth and other gods of the heathen nations round about them. But they just weren't satisfied. They just weren't being fulfilled in what they were seeking for. And one day they realized that what was missing was the Lord. One day they made a choice to go and fetch the ark. One day they went to the man of God and they said, make intercession for us and help us in our time of trouble. And the man of God told them, said, look, all you need to do is one simple thing, to repent. Amen. To repent. That's how easy it is to get close to God. That's how easy it is to find joy restored where joy is missing, to repent. And they repented and they put away the gods. And the Bible tells us here how that they came together and they sacrificed unto the Lord. And when the heathens heard about it, how they came up against them, when the Philistines heard how what was going on, immediately the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves unto the place. You know, that's just what the devil does when God's people get together. Amen. He tries to discourage. He tries to come around and he tries to take away your joy and your peace and your hope in Jesus. Amen. But Samuel knew there was something better. Samuel knew there was something greater. And Samuel began to offer to the Lord. It says there that he offered up a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. In that time when the offerings were given, a portion of it was given to the Lord and a portion of it was the priest and the man that had done the service of offering. But Samuel realized and Samuel knew that this offering had to be wholly given unto God, that he didn't want nothing and no part of it. He wanted God to have all glory. He wanted God to have all honor, and he offered wholly unto the Lord, and the Lord began to work, and the Lord began to move, and he discomforted the Philistines, and he thundered, and he roared, and praise God, their hearts were sinking, and their hearts and their bravery and their strength was shattered before the face of the Lord. And it says that the Israelites pursued them and smote them until they came to Bethkar. But in verse number 12 is where we want to preach about this morning. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mitzvah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. You know, he set that stone there and he called it Ebenezer, the stone of help. He called it Ebenezer, a place of going back and a place of remembering when the Lord had helped. He called it Ebenezer. It was a place where we could go back and as a Hebrew, as an Israelite, you could remember the victory that God had wrought in your life. Today is about, this weekend is about remembering. We want to remember the sacrifices. We want to remember the things that have been done. But God wants us to remember some things as well. He wants us to remember the victories that we have through Him and in Him. In Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a band of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. He said he wanted them to have these fringes upon their garment, that they would remember. God wants you to remember. God wants you to remember some things in His Word. In the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses is going through the book of Deuteronomy, and he's recounting their years in bondage, their years of deliverance, their years in the wilderness, and their time of preparing to go into the promised land, he puts some markers along the way, some things that they need to remember. God wants us to remember our past. He wants us to remember who we were. Amen. Look, in Deuteronomy 5:15, 8:2, 9:7, and 15:15, he wants us to remember that we were in bondage, that we were slaves to sin, and there was a time when there was no hope, but praise God, one day he brought us out, one day he gave us victory, one day he gave us hope. He wanted his people to remember where they had come from so they would appreciate where he had brought them to. Amen. And you know, we still need to go back and remember sometimes. We still need some Ebenezers in our lives. Amen. Some times of remembering. Do you remember where you were in your life spiritually when God saved you? Do you remember the needles that he took from your arm? Do you remember the bottle that he removed from your hand? Do you remember a savory lifestyle that he brought you out of? Do you remember the danger and the peril that you were in because of the life that you were living, and how God, in his infinite love and mercy, cared so much for you that he brought you out of that bondage? Amen. He says you need to remember. Need not forget. We don't glorify the sin in which we live. We don't glorify the sinners that we were, but praise God, we need not forget who we were. Amen. Because when we forget who we were, we forget who we are. Amen. See, that's what's wrong with America today. Amen. America has forgot who we were. Amen. And we don't appreciate who we are. We don't appreciate what God has done for us. In Deuteronomy, 7:18 and 24:9 in other places throughout Deuteronomy. You can go on down even into chapter 25 where they dealt with Amalek and some of the other battles that they had fought. But God wants you not only to remember who you are and where you were, but how you were delivered. Amen. It was God's strong hand. The Bible says so many times, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, he brought them out. He didn't bring them out in no meek and mild way. He didn't sneak them out of Egypt and out of bondage. Praise God, he brought them out in mass. Amen. He brought them out spoiling the Egyptians. He brought them out victorious. He brought them out with power and might. And I want you to know something. I wasn't delivered from the curse of sin in secret. Praise God. My Savior died on an old rugged cross. Was laid in a borrowed tomb and raised victorious over death, hell, and the grave to bring me out in victory. That was plain for everyone to see that witnessed it. Amen. And everyone that would know it. He wants me to remember. He wants me to remember that it wasn't of my own abilities. He wants you to remember that it wasn't in your own strength that you came out, but that he brought you out. He wants us to remember all the things that he'd done for us along the way. In Deuteronomy, number 7:18, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh. I remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam. I remember Amalek and what he did unto you, and then remember what I did unto him. I want you to remember. And then he says in Deuteronomy 32, I remember the days of old. I consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, the elders, and they will tell thee. What are they going to tell you? How good God has been. Amen. What are they going to tell you? What God has done. I tell you what, if we began to this morning, I could stop preaching and we could have had a testimony service. And let me tell you what, we would be here for the rest of the day for folks to tell you how God good has been to them. Amen. Amen. We can never cease to brag about what Jesus has done, what the Lord has done. For God so loved. Amen. For God so loved that He commended His love. Amen. What's that mean? God loved us enough that He actually proved it. Amen. He gave us the greatest gift. We need to remember how good God has been. Jesus tells us that we need to remember. Amen. In His last days upon the earth, before the cross, His last hours even, before He went to Gethsemane and went to Calvary, He gathered with His disciples in the upper room, in the upper chamber, to share with them that last blessed meal, in which likeness we celebrated last Sunday night. If you were here to partake of the communion service with us and to be blessed, and Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verse 17, He says, "And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." He gave us that institution of the communion service that we might remember, that we might not forget, that we might have an Ebenezer to go back to, in remembrance of me. Praise God. He don't want us to forget how much we've been loved, how much we've been cared for, how much our salvation cost, what was the great price to be paid, what was the condition of our lives and the condition that we're in now, what keeps us close. For every man that hath this hope within him purifieth himself even as he's pure. What inspires me, what compels me to go to that length of seeking forgiveness and seeking repentance from Jesus, because of what He done for me. Amen. His broken body, His poured out blood, His life, a sacrifice that just like that sacrifice that Samuel gave was wholly given. Amen. There was nothing that was held back. He was wholly given. Do you realize that when Jesus came, He came that He might give mankind everything on that old rugged cross? He didn't hold anything back. He didn't hold anything back. He never held His deity back. Do you realize He was 100% man, but He was still 100% God? I can't explain that to where you could adequately understand that. But yet, the God that spoke the world into creation looked out upon a lost and a dying world and said, "It's finished," and gave up the ghost. He gave wholly. The song says, just one drop of the precious blood. And I understand what the song says. I love it. I love the song. But it wasn't just one drop. It was every drop. It wasn't just one bit. It was all of the blood. And let me tell you what. It wasn't just precious blood. Amen. We've got some nurses here that will verify what I'm telling you if you don't believe me. The bloodline comes through the Father. Amen. It wasn't just precious blood. It was holy blood. It wasn't just any blood. It was sinless blood. Amen. It wasn't just another human's blood, but praise God, it was God's blood, and he poured it out wholly on that old rugged cross for my benefit. That body that was broken. That temple of clay in which he dwelt. The Bible says was marred beyond recognition. Couldn't be distinguished as a man. You see the pictures, especially in Catholic churches and some of the other denominations, of this fella hanging on the cross and he's head bowed over and there's a little slit in the side. That's not the picture that the Bible paints of Calvary. The Bible says his visage was marred more than any man. Think of the worst science fiction movie, the worst picture of horror. Maybe you've been in combat. Maybe you've been in war. Maybe you've been a first responder. Maybe you've been to an accident where you've seen horrific things. Maybe you work in medicine where you work in a trauma unit or something and you've seen traumatic effects upon the body that just wrenched your stomach or just made you turn your head. That's nothing. The worst that you've ever seen as nothing compared to what Jesus went through when he offered his body. Just as the body, the Bible says that Job was a perfect man. I believe it. Just as the Bible says that Solomon was the wisest man that would ever live. I believe it. And just as the Bible says that Jesus suffered more than any man, I believe it. His visage was marred more than any man's. You see, he wholly gave himself. And he wants us to remember. He wants us to not forget. He wants us to have an Ebenezer that we go back to. And we recall the day that we realized what Jesus had done for us and the awful price that he'd paid. But not only does God want us to remember who we are and where we've come from and where we've been brought to, not only does Jesus in his word want us to remember the great sacrifice and the great price that was paid, the word of God wants us to remember the great victory that we have in Jesus. Now listen, I didn't say the victory that we had. I said the victory that we have. Amen. Amen. The problem is sometimes we don't live victoriously. It's not because the victory that we have is inadequate. It's just that we fail to be mindful of the victory that we have in Jesus. Amen. We lose sight of what he's done. Turn in your Bibles over into Romans chapter number 8 for just a moment. We'll be finished here in just a few moments. Romans chapter number 8. I believe is an Ebenezer in the Word of God that we can go back to. I believe each one of us have an Ebenezer somewhere in our life that we can go back to in some place and we can see the hand of God that was merciful in us, to us. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, there's an Ebenezer that you can go back to and you can know it's an old rugged cross at a place called Calvary that brought victory in life onto a world that was dying and lost in its sin. But in Romans chapter number 8, there's an Ebenezer that the child of God can go back to and can find solace in. 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose." But down in verse number 31, it says, "What shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Praise God. I'm glad today that God is on my side. I'm glad today that God cared enough to send heaven's very best that he might obtain for us us, and he might purchase for us an eternal salvation. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We can have hope today, no matter what you're going through. In your hopelessness, there's an Ebenezer that brings hope. In your brokenness, there's an Ebenezer that brings fixing and repair, mending, or restoration. In your loneliness, there's an Ebenezer that tells you there's a friend that's closer than a brother, a friend that loveth at all times. Praise God. In your weariness, there's an Ebenezer that tells you there's strength in the Lord if you'll follow him and trust in him. And whatever it is that you're going through, I want you to know that there's an Ebenezer that you can go back to. He who spared not his own son, how shall he not freely give us all things? And then read the rest of that chapter. Read the rest of what Paul says there. Read the rest of what he wants you to know. Amen. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That needs to be an Ebenezer in every Christian's life. Amen. We're more than conquerors through him. Praise God. Not about me, not about you, not about this church, but it's about Jesus. Amen. And we're more than conquerors in him. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God gave everything. There's an Ebenezer to go back to. Paul says, look, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know why? He had an Ebenezer to go back to. You know, whenever they asked Paul about his faith, he told them about Jesus. He told them about that day on the road to Damascus when he stood before kings and governors, leaders and powers and principalities. He told them about what Jesus had done in his life. He told them about the victories that had brought us through. Over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, he tells us about all that he'd been through, the beatings, the whippings, the scourgings, the shipwreck, the burdens and the trials, the being hunted, the being stoned and left for dead. He tells us about all he went through, but there was an Ebenezer to go back to. In the first century, there was a martyr by the name of Polycarp. He was a student of the Apostle John, who had firsthand relationship with John. And when the Roman authorities came and arrested him, he prepared them a meal, and he had a meal for them. And when they took him to stand before the magistrate, the only thing that he had to do was deny Christ and accept that Caesar was God. And he said, how can I deny the one that's been so good to me this 89 years? Praise God. All he had to do, it would have been very easy to deny him and then repented. Amen. But he chose not to. You know why? Because he had an Ebenezer to go back to. How many's ever heard, some of you might have seen a movie, the end of the sixth, the end of the sixth census? Ingrid Bergman. It was a movie made in 1957. Huh? Uh-huh. It's a story about a woman by the name of Gladys Howard. She was a single female missionary, dedicated herself to the Lord in China. She was instrumental in helping to bring China out of some of its old customs. She was an agent for the Chinese government, and what she would actually do, she would do foot inspections. Amen. She would go into the Chinese villages, into the Chinese homes, and she would look at the Chinese babies that were born, because in China, it was a custom. They would bind the feet of the little girls, and a grown lady, she might have feet that were this big. And it was some kind of a custom, and the Chinese government knew that it was injuring the women. It was leaving the women crippled for life because of what they were doing. And she would, but in doing so, where many of the inspectors were either killed, ridiculed, chased off, she would share with them Christ. And she used the opportunity to share with Christ. And she started an orphanage there, and she began to adopting children and began to taking them into her home. But then the Second World War started. But then the Chinese were overrun by the Japanese and were treated most cruelly and treated most inhumanely. Some of the greatest atrocities that ever occurred during the Second World War occurred in China, and in some of the things that the Japanese had did unto the Chinese there. And her orphanage in Yancheng was in peril, about to be overrun by the Japanese. So this single woman, with one aide, one female aide helping her, took 100 children over the mountains out of Yancheng into safety. And in the midst of the journey, she began to doubt that they were going to make it. She began to fear that they couldn't go on. She began to doubt her own abilities to get these children into safety. And one of the girls that was with her that had heard the stories that Miss Howard had shared with them looked at her and said, "You're like Moses bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt." And she said, "I don't feel like Moses. I'm not Moses, and I can't be Moses." She said, and the young girl looked at her and said, "Well, that's all right, because God's still God." Amen. God is still God. Amen. You know what? When I run through difficulties in my life and I realize that I can't, God is still God. Amen. When I find problems in my life, I can look back to the Ebenezers of my life and I can find out that God is still God, and God has been faithful, and God has been true, and God has never forsaken me, although there's times when I've forsaken Him. But praise God, there's an Ebenezer that reminds me. Amen. That God's still God. I'm thankful for the sacrifice of the men and women of our armed forces that have given me the liberties that I have as an American. Amen. I'm glad I can look back to some American Ebenezers. Amen. I can look back in our history, and I'm thankful for the ancient Baptists that would stand against the persecution of religion. I'm thankful for the patriots that were willing to stand at Lexington and Concord and give their life and shed their blood on my behalf, for those who gave their life in the Revolution. That's an Ebenezer that I, as an American, can go back to. I'm thankful that during our great civil war and our great civil conflict, we had a leader whose desire wasn't to persecute and to punish, but was to sustain and was to contain it, and was to keep the Union at all costs and at every cost and every effort that it was going to take, and he sustained. I'm glad there's an Ebenezer that we can go back to in American history, that even in the midst of our greatest national conflict, internal conflict, praise God, there was one who realized the greatness of that unity. I'm thankful for the Ebenezer of World War I, the Ebenezer of World War II, the Ebenezer of the Gulf Wars that have been fought, the modern age wars that have been fought, all against tyranny, all against the repression of our beliefs and our faiths and our desires as Americans. But praise God, none of them compare. None of them stand in comparison to the Ebenezer of what Christ has done for me. The Ebenezer in my life. God brought a victory there in 1 Samuel chapter number 7. And they raised a stone and called it Ebenezer. God, my help. God my deliverer. God my strength. God is all that I need. And I'm glad that stone is there. But I'm glad for the Ebenezers in my life. I'm glad for Calvary. I can go back. I know the time. I know the place. I didn't get you. Amen. I know the time and I know the place. Amen. When I ask Jesus into my heart. Do you? Is there a time? Is there a place? Are you sure beyond a shadow of a doubt? Do you know that you... I'm not talking about when you're being baptized and being sprinkled. I'm talking about a place when you realize that you were a sinner, as lost as a man could be. You was on your way to a place called hell, and you realize that the only help you had was in that man that hung on that old rugged cross that gave his life a ransom for your sin, and you ask him into your heart. The Roman jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Yeah. Believe on the Lord. Believe on the Lord. Amen. Believe on the Lord. Do you know that Ebenezer in your life? Are you going through difficulties? You're going through struggles? Maybe you're backslidden. And maybe you forgot. Like the children of Israel, it's been 20 years. And you forgot about how good God had been to you. You forgot about what God had done for you. What God had given you. And this morning, you remember, there's an Ebenezer that sticks out. And how many times God has been so gracious and good to you. You remember that when you asked him to save you, he forgave you of your sins. He cleansed you of all unrighteousness. He birthed you into the family of God. Amen. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're going through a battle and you're about ready to give up and you're about ready to give in. But then God reminds you of an Ebenezer. Or you had been there before. Unsurmountable odds. Unsurmountable circumstances. And God had brought victory to you in your life. And you realize it's not a time to give up. But it's the time to be reminded that you're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And to claim the victory that God will give you in Jesus. I don't know what it is. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song. I don't know what it is.